This is the Apple This Extra.
Welcome to Apple This Extra 44. My name is Michael Hansen. Great to be here with you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm joined in the co-host seat by Mr. Jamie Pauls. Jamie, how are you?
Doing great, trying to stay cool. It's hot here in Missouri, but I'm in where it's nice, so I'm ready to have a great interview tonight.
Well, and certainly we have a great interviewee lined up for us tonight. Before we get to that, I want to kind of talk just a little bit about some background about our guest. Now, every year, the Apple This community is asked to vote for apps for the induction into the Apple This iOS App Hall of Fame. Now, the iOS App Hall of Fame is one of the ways in which the Apple This community seeks to recognize the very best of the best in terms of accessible iOS apps and, of course, the developers who make these apps possible. Apps in the Hall of Fame can be liberating, they can be empowering, they can be just good fun, you know, games, anything that makes the impact on the life of a user and makes it, makes some task or some activity possible that users with visual impairments didn't have access to before. Now, to get into the Hall of Fame, even to be nominated, long before you're ever voted in, to be nominated, there are several criteria that an app has to meet. The app has to obviously be fully accessible to VoiceOver users. VoiceOver, of course, is the screen reader for blind and visually impaired Apple product owners. The app has to have been accessible for a substantial amount of time. It has to be from a developer with a proven and long-term commitment to maintaining and improving accessibility, and it has to be exceedingly good at the app's intended function. Now, this year's shortlist included 8 apps, and the apps which received the most votes, the top 2 apps, were inducted into the Apple This iOS App Hall of Fame for this year, 2016. And the app which received the most votes was Twitterific 5 for Twitter. Now, Twitterific 5 for Twitter has enjoyed great amounts of popularity in the blind and low vision user community because of the developer's commitment to not just making the app accessible, but making the experience great. One of Twitterific's hallmark features is the streamlined user interface. Things are there. There aren't too many superfluous settings that nobody's ever going to need. It's all very simple, all very well laid out, and developers do a really good job of getting you the things you need in a very easy way. Now, in May of 2016, version 5.14.3 was released with several voiceover improvements. The accessibility implementation was, I guess you could call it, redesigned. The way you interact with tweets was radically changed to incorporate rotor actions. Lots of really cool things, all of which led the Icon Factory and Twitterific to win the most number of votes to be our top most voted app for induction into the Apple This iOS App Hall of Fame. And here to talk with us about Twitterific and accessibility and everything in between is Ged Mayhew. Ged is the owner and designer at the Icon Factory, the company behind Twitterific. Ged is a second-time guest on the Apple This Extra. We had him on the show in December of 2012 to talk about Twitterific when it was first launched. And now, over 3.5 years later, Ged, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Has it really been? Oh, my.
Yes, it has. I remember recording the interview myself with Thomas Domville when we were on the phone conference bridge. I remember that. And it was like, I looked back and it was like December 3rd or December 4th, I think, is when when Twitterific 5 came out. So it was very, very similar, one of those dates in very late 2012.
Well, I really appreciate you having me back, and also to the award and the nomination as well, but the award was just incredible. We were all floored by it, and we can't say thanks enough to you and your listeners and your fans for nominating and then awarding us this honor.
As just as important as it is for you, you know, to have the recognition, it's important, you know, very almost more important to us to have developers who care about accessibility, who prioritize accessibility, because, you know, accessibility is, yes, Apple's talking about it at WWDC. They had some sessions on accessibility this week. Our date of recording for those listening is June 15th, 2016, right in the middle of the 2016 Worldwide Developers Conference. But, you know, a lot of developers don't even get the thought to accessibility. So this is an award that is very well deserved, and we greatly appreciate your commitment.
Well, again, thank you from all of us. I'm not the only person behind Twitterific. I'm just one part of it, and you know, I'll extend that thanks back to the entire team, because they appreciate it, and you know, they wish they could be here as well. So thanks again.
Well, you guys are very welcome. So I guess probably a good place to start was, tell us about how you guys got started developing Twitterific in the first place.
Well, it started out as a Mac app way back in 2007, when Twitter was just starting to become known. That was, I don't know if you know this or not, but Twitter really kind of was discovered at South by Southwest of that year, and it really started to take off after that. But Twitterific was there at that event for the Mac. And it was the first Mac client for Twitter.
Wow.
And, Craig Hockenberry was our lead developer, and he's the one that thought up the idea and coded the original version of it. And initially, it was only on the Macintosh. You know, you could tweet and read tweets right from your desktop without having to go to the Twitter website. And this is all before a lot of the conventions we know of as Twitter today were in place. There was no, you know, hashtags and all of those things that eventually became Twitter. And then eventually, you know, when the iPhone was unveiled in 2007, later that year, we instantly thought, you know, well, we got to have this on the iPhone. And so we started experimenting with Twitterific for iOS. Initially, it was... there was no app store at the time, so, you know, we started creating the app out of pocket, I guess you would say, in, you know, the jailbreak kind of community mm-hmm. that you would be familiar with today, or anything like that. But then soon Apple announced the App Store, and when they did that, we finalized Twitterific and released it when the App Store went live in, I think it was July of 2008. Twitterific was there at the launch of the App Store, and we've been there ever since. We've gone through multiple versions. There's been 40 updates of the app since the time it went to the iPhone, and version 5 has been there, I think you said, since 2013, and that version has received a lot of updates, including a number of accessibility improvements over the years.
Now, how did you get accessibility on the map? How did you guys first become aware of VoiceOver and the need for VoiceOver support?
From users, actually. You know, a lot of people would write to us and, you know, ask for accessibility options for Twitter. And partly because the official ways to communicate with Twitter weren't accessible. Mm-hmm. They didn't do a very good job of that kind of interaction with their service. And so, you know, users came to us and asked for it, and we slowly started to build up a host of features that were usable with accessibility for the iPhone. The Mac is a different story altogether. You know, the Mac version of Twitterific has been left in the dust. It unfortunately, you know, Twitter added all of these restrictions for third-party users in yeah. recent years, and the token limit is an mm-hmm. issue. You know, if your listeners are not aware, third-party developers for Twitter apps are only allotted a certain number of user tokens per application. And once those tokens are used up by the number of users, they can be no more. So there can be no additional copies of that particular application sold or downloaded on the App Store. We haven't reached the limit for Twitterific for Mac, but we're close to it, and so it just doesn't make sense to continually update the Mac version of the app, because as soon as we do, those tokens will expire and then we'll be out of luck. So instead, we focus all of our efforts on iOS, where we have a much deeper pool of user tokens. And you know, that's where we've put all of our development efforts.
So in May 2016, you guys released version 5.14.3, bringing a number of significant improvements to the VoiceOver user experience. What all did you guys do, and what has been the most well-received?
We did a bunch of things, actually, but I'd say that the most popular change was our move to official rotor actions in
yes.
the accessibility menu.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, that one was on the request list for a long time, actually. Users had been suggesting that for at least a year, you know, and it was always on the slate to do, but it never seemed like a good time to do it until we did the 5.14.3 update, because we also did, you know, the ability to add text descriptions to images that Twitter had recently added. So we thought, well, we're just going to, there's these accessibility improvements that have been piling up. I mean, we've been doing a little over time. We sprinkled them over time. But then this one update, we said we're going to devote this mainly to accessibility. And that's when we went ahead and did the rotor action update. And there were some tweaks there. I mean, it's still in flux. People have a lot of feedback about, you know, how those should work and the order of things and,
mm-hmm.
and all of that.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, it's a very personal thing.
It is. It's really hard to please everyone when it comes to those kinds of things, because everyone uses the service for different things, so they have different priorities about, you know, what should come first and what should be read first and all of those things. And even, you know, how long, you know, it should take you to get to a particular thing before, you get to another menu action or whatever. So, but we listen to all of that and we try to adjust as we go, you know. And I dare say that that particular improvement has been one of our most popular, if not the most popular, accessibility-wise that we've done. I've gotten tons of emails, tweets, and direct messages from people just saying that they cannot say thanks enough for adding that rotor action.
I would agree. It is a huge productivity boost. It just makes things so much quicker to just be able to go right, and then once your action is done, you are right back there in your timeline. And I love it. I would agree. That is a great, great, great accessibility improvement, I would say.
Yeah, not only just some of the typical things like reply to a message, but to even like to be able to get to the timeline of a user, or you know, like if a user is mentioned in a tweet, you can even get to where you can follow that person if you want to. Opening a link that's associated
I just
with an
use
article.
The username rotor action to look at somebody's profile.
Right.
And, I mean,
right.
It's just that sort of a thing. Yeah. And you can do all that. And then the rotor actions work in all the other views as well. So then you can go and, you know, if you see a username in a conversation and you want to look at that person's profile,
right.
Just rotor on down and you're on your way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
There are some users, there's always going to be people who don't like change. And, you know, I've heard from those people as well, you know. And the thing that I usually tell them is, you know, just try it. For a while, you know,
right.
Take some time
right.
to get used to it, and then, you know, come back and tell me whether you think that it was an improvement or not. And 9 times out of 10, when they do that, they do come back and they say, you're right, it's better, it's quicker, it's more efficient than it was before. And that means a lot. That feels good when you hear that kind of stuff, because we know how much time we waste on Twitter, you know, doing stupid things, or, you know, Twitter just isn't set up the way we mm-hmm. want it to be, you know, and mm-hmm. so, you know, it's got to be even worse for someone who's using VoiceOver. And so, you know, anything that we can do to help optimize that is good.
Well, I think one of the things about the rotor is that itself, not in Twitterific, but in general, the rotor is not the easiest concept for someone to learn. It took me a while to learn how to use the rotor on my iPhone. And indeed, what I first started out by doing was holding my two fingers on the screen. I spread them out a little bit and actually turned the phone with the other hand. And then I, you know, eventually learned how to, you know, figured out the right motion to try and kind of rotate my fingers. But it is not the easiest thing to learn. But once you learn it, the custom actions that Apple has allowed developers to implement make things so much easier. You know, calendars, you know, news readers, Twitter clients, you know, it makes things so much easier. So as we look ahead, what can VoiceOver users expect as possible feature enhancements or improvements, or in general to Twitterific? What can we expect that might be coming down the pipeline?
That's a good question. I mean, it's always tough for us to say what's going to be in a future release. We never know from release to release until we decide, you know, to start working on it. Right now with WWDC, we're in the middle of digesting all of the new things that are coming in iOS 10, and there are a lot of them. So, you know, but one of the things, I mean, one of the things that I really want to do, or really hope to be able to do, is to fix some of the bugs that are associated with VoiceOver, especially the VoiceOver not holding its place. Sometimes it will lose focus.
Thank you. Yes.
In the timeline.
Yes. Not just your app.
No, it's not just Twitterific. It's an iOS-wide problem, for sure. But it's something we're going to be looking at closely in iOS 10 to see that if it has been fixed or not, and if not, you know, submit radars appropriately in order to help Apple fix the problem, because now it's like the most reported frustration with VoiceOver users for the app. And it's even frustrating for us because it's out of our control to some degree. You know, Sean has done some things to help negate it or minimize it as much as possible, but it persists and it's really, really frustrating. So we're going to be looking closely at that for sure as we move forward. That's one thing. Another thing is, you know, possibly the ability to switch to core text for displaying text on screen. To have finer grain control over text size, contrast levels, those kinds of things for the hard of seeing. That would be something that would be on the list. Then also too, as Twitter adapts or changes or makes their feature set more robust, to see what we can adopt there. I mean, we've really been impressed with that last, you know, round of APIs that they introduced for the image descriptions, mm-hmm. and hopefully there are other things in the pipe from them as well that we'll be able to expand on. We also would really love to. One of the things I've wanted in the app for a long time, and something that a lot of users would like, is some kind of detail view of a tweet where you can open the particular tweet itself and get all of the information about the tweet beyond what you just see in the timeline. Mm-hmm. You know, the client that tweeted it, where it came from, the exact date down to the minutes and seconds that it was tweeted, you know, the complete list of replies, conversations, quotes, everything for that tweet, you know, easy access to the author and all of that stuff. So if I have my way, then that will be one of the things that will be coming, and that will all be accessible. So that would be a great little addition to the app as well. And then also to the being able to just, that would go hand in hand with, right now you can tap to view through to images from on their profile, but there's not tweets attached to those images. And we need to be able to do that so that you don't lose context of where those images came from. I do believe they read the text descriptions for those images, but I have to double check that.
Something I would like to see, and there may actually be a good reason why it isn't either a good idea or it can't be done, would it be possible to, in the rotor action menu, to be able to send a direct message to someone that you're following? I think that would be kind of nice, actually.
Yeah, that's a great idea, actually. That's a good suggestion. That's a good one. I'll make a note of that.
Okay, thank you.
Do you guys support trending topics? That was just something that made me wonder. I mean, not that I look at the trending list, but I know some people, you know, are really onto the trending topics. Does Twitterific support that, or is that just
yes.
like a Twitter?
It is. It's actually in the sidebar. If you scroll down to the search section of the sidebar, trends are there under the tweets tab under search.
Cool. Learn something new every day. Well, Ged, first of all, I want to reiterate how much we as a community appreciate your team's commitment to making Twitterific accessible and continuing to build on that. Now, if people have questions, comments, compliments, et cetera, how can they get in touch with you?
If it's app-related, the best way is on Twitter to actually tweet at Twitterific, TwitterIfic. And with your question, or, you know, if it's short, we can always answer it right there on Twitter. If it's not, if it's a lengthy question or a comment or a suggestion, anything you want to do like that, then you can send it to us via email at support@iconfactory.com. And you can also, you know, tweet me directly. I'm just at Gideon, G-E-D-E-O-N on Twitter, and I'm happy to answer any questions that I can as well, whether it's related to the Icon Factory in general or Twitterific specifically.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much again for coming to talk to us here on the AppleVis Extra. Congratulations again on your 2016 AppleVis iOS App Hall of Fame induction. It is very, very well deserved, and we really appreciate all that you have done for the community.
I really can't say thank you enough. And from all of us, it means more to us than I think you realize. You know, we really do care about this stuff, and to get recognized for it is a big, big deal to us. You know, if we did all this stuff just for the money, we would have stopped doing it long ago, because it quite frankly doesn't pay the bills. So it's great to be able to be part of the community and to be able to give back to it in this way. And for that, you know, from all of us, thank you.
Well, you are very welcome. And Jamie, I heard you had something that you wanted to say real quick about why you like Twitterific.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. I've sort of almost had a toy box of Twitter apps for a while.
Me too.
Just playing with all of them. And, you know, I'm not going to say anything bad about any of them, but I was, as you and Ged especially were talking, I was sitting here just trying to ask myself, why did I settle on Twitterific? What was it that really kind of closed the deal for me? And you know, it's kind of hard to put it into words, but there are a lot of subtle things. Just the way VoiceOver handles notifications, the attention to detail when it comes to what you can do in the rotor. And I think that the company, I think Icon Factory, have gone a long ways toward really showing that they care about accessibility and that they're committed to it. So if anyone listening hasn't tried Twitterific, go give it a try. I think you will really be impressed with it.
Ditto. It's the cumulative user experience. It just works, and you open the app and it just gets up and goes, and it's ready to go, and you know really quick, and it's got all your tweets right there. And yeah. You know, to have a really dedicated development team that appreciates accessibility and you know, takes it, you know, seriously and, you know, values it is something that, you know, very much appreciated, and certainly is something that it can never, the value of that can never be understated. Well, my name is Michael Hansen. It's been great to have you here joining us on the AppleVis Extra. For more information about Apple products and related applications and basically anything Apple, feel free to visit us online at www.applevis.com. And don't forget to check out Twitterific. It's Twitterific 5 for Twitter on the App Store, developed by the Icon Factory.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleVis Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applevis.com. Follow us on Twitter @AppleVis and like us on Facebook.